Oh, this is fun. It's really good to be here this morning. It's lovely to see you in this lovely new building. Although I must say now all of you have just got black spots for faces because I can't see anything from being blinded by the light. Yeah, it's the first time I've spoken in the new building. So yeah, might do anything. I might do a little cartwheel around the side or something. It's really cool. If you don't know who I am, I'm Susie. I am a bit husky this morning, I do apologise. So it could make for a shorter preach, because if the voice just stops, then, you know, we'll be done. I'm also aware there's no clock. Right, okay. It is 10 past 11-ish. So Ian sent out a preaching rota a while ago, and basically the summer services were kind of almost like Sunday school memory verses. That was what we were having to pick from, and we could pick a memory verse and do what you like. So I did wonder about doing the whole thing where I get you to have a word each on a piece of paper and, you know, you sit down. Yeah, it's so much fun. Exactly. I've not done that though, sorry. The verse I've picked is one that you will know, or a lot of you will know, possibly from an old song. Do you remember the song? Yesterday, today and forever, you are the same, you never change. Yeah, there we go. So that verse is a verse from Hebrews, which is a book in the Bible in the New Testament. It kind of comes after the Gospels. And it's a really good book. It's not very long. So if you sometimes struggle a bit with reading the Bible, it's a good one to go for because it's kind of short. We don't know who wrote it. Some people think that Paul, one of the apostles, wrote it. But it's a bit different to his other books. So if he did write it, he was, you know, having a different day. Some people think it could have been written by one of his sort of people who've accompanied him on some of his journeys, so someone like Silas or Barnabas. Some people even think it could have been written by a woman. Is that what we reckon? Yeah. Well, we're talking about Hebrews, but you know, yeah. Oh gosh, yeah, Vicky Beeching. She was a classic. The main aim of the book of Hebrews is to strengthen the reader's faith. That is kind of the main over-encompassing, arching theme of the book. You read it and you should feel strengthened in your faith in Jesus. And actually, it's interesting what Lisa said, that sometimes you can sing the words of worship songs, can't you? And you just sing the words and yay, lovely worship song. I felt like today, every single worship song, I was like, oh yeah, I could use that in my preach. Oh, I could use that in my preach. And I kept borrowing Maria's pen to scribble things down. And the one that James sang with, God is strong in us. And I just thought, yeah, that's the whole point of Hebrews, isn't it? Through reading Hebrews, through reading that kind of thing that it just focuses on the superiority of Jesus and who he was and what he did, through reading it, you just feel that strength of God through you. That's one of the ways we receive from God, isn't it? Reading the word, it strengthens our faith. It strengthens us. God is strong in us. And I was just like, oh yeah, it all kind of all fits together. Isn't it beautiful? And that theme of Christ's superiority, which just is emphasized in the book of Hebrews, and just how he fulfills Old Testament prophecies, how he is and always has been God's plan for salvation for us. It's a really good book. I'd really encourage you to go home and read it. And the verse that I'm going to talk to you about, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's actually in the last chapter of Hebrews. It's kind of the writer's sort of conclusion. And it's a powerful kind of summary of who Jesus is, just about his unchanging nature and his significance in our lives all of the time, and his significance, oh, that's difficult to say, in people's lives before us and people's lives ahead of us. He is the most significant thing anyone can ever encounter, and that's who Jesus is, and that's what Hebrews is all about. So, let's break it down. The verse, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. So yesterday, what's yesterday? Well, yesterday is anything that's not today, that's come before. Okay, that's yesterday. So we're talking about the historical reality of Jesus' presence. So we can think about his involvement in creation. Now you might be going, that was God the Father. No, Jesus was there. It says in Genesis 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and sea and the birds in the air, and blah, 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 blah. Let us make man in our image. Okay, Jesus was there. The Holy Spirit was there. It was all there. Three in one, right from day one. So, it's one bit. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I love these verses so much. Jesus was there. He was the Word. He was there at the beginning. Okay, Jesus was the same yesterday. And then in Colossians 1 it says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. There is no doubt Jesus was there at the beginning. And then obviously we can look to find out more about his character and who he was as a person, because he came to earth as a human. It says in Matthew 20, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to earth to serve us. He was the King of heaven. You know, he was there at the beginning of all time. He created the world and the universe and everything. And he, that power, that awesomeness came to earth and lived as a man to serve us. That's his character. That's who he was. That's who he still is. James was talking about something else the other day. And he was talking about how Jesus was tempted in every way. You know, the 40 days, he was tempted in every way. And it just reminded me then, again, it's like, yeah, that power over all of creation not only came to earth to live as a man, but to also be humble as a man. Do you know what I mean? To be tired, to be hungry, to be desperate, to be unclean. What's the word for that? Dirty. That's better. To be ill, perhaps. To be sore, to ache, to hurt. To do all the things that we experience. That was God. I mean, that just makes my brain go blah, 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 blah. Because that's so huge that God, as this amazing power that was there at the beginning of creation, came to life as a man. And put himself to be so low, so lowly, so humiliated. And obviously that's even before he died. In Romans 5, it says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's Jesus. That was him yesterday. That's all that he's done for us yesterday. I mean, that's quite a lot, isn't it? You think he could have a sit down now, have a rest. But no, carries on. Jesus is the same today. So this is speaking to us of the present reality of Jesus, his ongoing presence and involvement in the lives of believers, in the lives of us. Oh, there's a microphone there. The book of Hebrews talks about Jesus as being the high priest. Basically, in Jewish culture, the high priest was the person that would intercede for the people to God. Yeah, they were kind of the main sort of communication, and they would do the sacrifices and they would be that person that could speak on behalf of the people to God. Yeah. And in Hebrews it talks about Jesus being this high priest. And if you're not really sure much about all the high priest's roles, then have a read through of some of Exodus and some of Genesis. If you remember, I think, was it Martin talked to us about Aaron Did you talk about Aaron? Someone talked to us about Aaron in the Bible series. And, I mean, you read those chapters and you're just like, oh my goodness, there was a lot of hard work. And that's who Jesus is. He's doing all that hard work for us. He is still interceding for us to God. And there are ways in that he's doing that for us. So Jesus still intercedes for us. He still is present in our lives through the Holy Spirit. That's reason number one, thing number one. So he promised to send his Holy Spirit to the followers after his departure. And the Holy Spirit is often referred to as the helper or the comforter. And the Spirit dwells within us, doesn't he? We've just talked about God being strong in us through the Word, but through the Holy Spirit as well. He guides, he empowers, he convicts. The Spirit's presence serves as a direct connection between Jesus, or to Jesus, sorry, enabling believers to experience his teachings, to experience his love and guidance in our daily lives. Jesus is still with us through the Word of God. We've just spoken about that. But still, you read the Bible and you still feel the presence of Jesus empowering us, being with us, impacting our daily lives. Through prayer and through worship, we just sung worship songs here this morning, and I don't know about you, but I felt the presence of Jesus here with us. You worship, you sing those songs, you sing those words, your heart means it, and suddenly you're like, yeah, you're here, you're with me, I feel it. Through communion, we share the bread and the wine together, don't we? And we feel the presence of Jesus with us. I mean, he told us to do it because he literally said, what did he say in Corinthians? What does it say in Corinthians? For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. We share communion together. We remember Jesus. We remember what he did. And somehow through doing that act of sharing the bread and sharing the wine, you feel Jesus with us. Jesus is with us in doing that. We still see Jesus here today through personal transformations, don't we? People's lives. You see the touch of Jesus Christ on their life. You see the transformation in their life. I see the transformation in my life through knowing Jesus, through spending more time with him, through spending more time in his word, more time worshipping, more time praying. I see the transformation in my life. I see the transformation in my mind. I know somehow the more time I spend with Jesus, well, the more I think about him, I guess. There's less time for other stuff. Like, just practically, spend time with Jesus. Your focus is on Jesus. He transforms your mind. In acts of service and in love, I love this verse. I love so many verses, but I love this verse. Matthew 25, verse 40. Jesus says to his followers, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. I mean, isn't that just so beautiful? You know, you just, through those acts of love, things that you don't even think about half the time, just the niceness of being nice humans. You're serving the Lord. You're doing Jesus' work, and you're continuing his ministry. And actually, he's saying, not only are you doing it for that person, but you're doing it for me. That's a kind of direct communication with Jesus. You're serving him. He's here. I don't know why, but I put my pages in like the wrong order. I should go that way, shouldn't I? And then Matthew 28 says, Jesus says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is with us now during difficult times. And many of us have found comfort in so many verses of the Bible, but Jesus promises that he stands with us. He stands beside us through every aspect of our life, whether it's good or whether it's not so good. He's still there. And that's part of the reason why I chose this verse, actually, because when I looked down the list of verses that Ian sent out to us, this was the one that almost made me go, that one's a bit hard sometimes. I don't really always like that one, because I find it really easy to go, yeah, Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever, when I'm stood here on a Sunday morning now. It's exciting, isn't it? Praising the Lord. Yeah, Jesus is the same. You were so good. You died for us. You did all this for us, and you love me, and you chose me, and you know, and you're still here, and I feel your presence here, and I feel so connected to you. And then all of a sudden it's like Wednesday morning and I'm not feeling it. And you know, something, I know it sounds so trivial, doesn't it? Something might have gone wrong that's small, something might have gone wrong that's huge. And I just, yeah, I'm almost a bit cross with God. I'm almost a bit like, yeah, I don't really feel like you're quite the same as I thought you were on Sunday morning. And that's hard, isn't it? That's really, really hard. Because how do you suddenly get yourself back into that, yeah, you're so good, you're so great, you're so awesome, you're so powerful, on a cold, wet Wednesday morning when you're meant to be sending your children to school and they're still only wearing socks or whatever else? It's difficult. Do you know what, though? Another way we can experience Jesus with us right now is through his community of believers. And on that Wednesday morning, when I'm feeling not great, you know, I might send a message to one of my friends and say, can you just pray? It's really hard. I'm finding this really hard. It might sound so insignificant, but right now, I cannot see how I'm ever going to get my children to school. Could you pray? Yeah, through the community of believers, we feel Jesus' love, don't we? I'm looking at one of the people I send a message to. And it's powerful, isn't it? You feel that. That's Jesus. That's still Jesus. That's not anybody else. That's not just because Beck and I are mates. I mean, that's nice. But, you know, that's because it's Jesus. And it's because I've asked a Christian sister to pray. And that is hugely powerful. That's not anything to be just kind of, yeah, I'll pray for you. No, it's massive, it's huge, and it's a way we still feel Jesus in our lives today. And then the last bit of that verse, forever. We've just sung a whole bunch of songs that talk a lot about forever. I mean, forever's quite big, isn't it? It's quite large, and it carries on, apparently, for a really long time. And Jesus is saying that he's going to be the same forever. Forever. He will have always died for us. He will have always chosen us. He will have always suffered for us. He will have always lived for us. He would have always created the world for us forever. And ever, and ever. And I could go on for a while. We sang some songs about the foreverness. And it said, if you've been forgiven, sing the song forever for the Lamb. Now sometimes, even when the worship is as good as it was this morning, get a little tired, have a little sip, you know, feel a little kind of, yeah, this is really good, I'm really feeling you, Jesus, but still got backache, so I'm still going to just sit down for a moment. And that's fine, obviously, but I sometimes think, oh my goodness, we're going to sing the song forever to the Lamb. Like, I think Jesus is pretty great, but I'm pretty sure when I actually meet him face to face, I'm going to think he's even greater. Because something about that is going to spur me on to be able to sing the song forever. Yeah? Isn't that going to be awesome? I just think that's going to be so amazing. Won't have backache, it'll help. The Bible gives us loads of passages that emphasise the eternal nature of Jesus. And in Hebrews 1, verses 10 to 12, it says, and you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up like a garment. They will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. Talking about the eternal nature of Jesus, it's hugely weird because he's talking about the temporary nature of the world. I mean, that's a weird thought, isn't it? That's a scary thought in some ways. This is temporary. It feels so significant right now, doesn't it? What is the time? 11:30 on a Sunday morning. Can't quite get my head around the fact that this is all going to end, and actually Jesus will remain forever and ever and ever. In Revelation 1 verse 8 it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. There's loads more verses. I've got loads more verses, but apparently it's 11:30 already, so I should probably stop soon. The eternal nature of Jesus Christ, portraying him as the creator, the sustainer, the ruler of all things, existing before time and throughout eternity. That is still Jesus. That is still Jesus, the man who came to earth as a baby. Still the same person. And that is huge. That is massive to get your brain around. Well, it's massive for me to get my brain around. Your brain might be better than mine. But in the context of this book of Hebrews, this one little sentence is that kind of final kind of explanation mark of, this is who Jesus is. Will you get it now? You get it in your little brain. This is who Jesus is. His role as the eternal mediator, the unwavering foundation of faith, the provider of all things. It's an encouragement to us to hold fast to our faith in the midst of all the challenges. And I know I'm laughing and saying Wednesday morning when my children are only wearing socks, but there are lots of challenges in life. There's huge challenges. I'm not trying to trivialise them. But Jesus still remains the same throughout all of those challenges. And there will be people here that are in the midst of that, in the midst of times that are really, really, really hard. They'll be facing trials, both, you know, physical and emotional. And actually, when we were singing earlier on, you know, King of Heaven, dying for me, maybe they were just words for you this morning, because actually what you're facing is so huge, it's so enveloping, it's really difficult to see out of the top of that. And if that is you, and life is really, really hard, or even life isn't that hard, I know Kath said a few weeks ago, didn't she, don't feel like you can't come forward because maybe the trial you're facing doesn't seem that hard. Honestly, the trial I'm facing sometimes is just socks, in all varieties. And we can stand with our fellow believers and feel the presence of Jesus with us while they pray for us. It's so powerful. Don't let this opportunity to experience Jesus pass you by, because it can make all the difference in the world. So I'm going to ask James to go back to his little corner. He's going to lead us in worship. If you are here today and you're thinking, oh, it's all right for Susie, she can get a bit bouncy and happy and talk about Jesus for a while. If it's not really cutting it today and you just need to experience Jesus again in your life personally, for whatever reason, please will you come forward? I would love to pray for you. I know there's a load of other people here that would love to pray with you as well. Jesus is really real, really, really real, and he's here with us today, and he would love to meet with you. He would love to have a huge impact on your heart and on your life today. So come forward, and we'll pray, and that'll be really good. I'm just going to close in prayer myself. Father God, I thank you so much for the words of your Bible. Lord, I thank you for how they strengthen us, how they encourage us. Lord, most of all, I thank you that you came to the earth to live as a man, to experience all of the stuff that we experience. Lord, again, James reminded me, you didn't even have running water. You didn't have electricity. You didn't have medicine. You experienced trials that we could never probably even imagine. And yet, you still loved us enough to die for us. But you didn't leave it there. You conquered death and you rose again. And through that, you're still with us by your Spirit, Lord. Lord, and I so look forward to the day where we can be singing forever to you. So Lord, I thank you for all that you've done, for all that you are, and for all you have yet to do. Amen.